Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners Stephen Lucan and Tony Payne. Hey, guys. Glad to have you back.
Nice to be here.
Back in for another topic. This is a really good one. I see so much media play on social media. Some of the YouTubers and TikTokers are talking about it, and I really wanted to kind of dig in and have you kind of dispel some of the myths and debunk some of the garbage that's out there.
About what?
Smart debt strategy using a HELOC to accelerate debt payoff.
What's a HELOC?
That's the first question. So what I want you to first explain is, what is it? What does it do?
Go, well, Tony.
You've got to own a home first, because the first letter is home. So if you own a home, you're good. We can continue the acronym. So after that, it's equity. So you've got to have equity in the home. That's the second piece. If you just bought it, if you're a first-time homebuyer using FHA, you may not have enough equity in the home to even talk about this. So first two letters, home and equity. Now we're up to the key part. It's a line of credit. So when you're thinking about home equity, line of credit, it's basically a secured loan against the equity in your home. The idea being, they can give you a pretty low interest rate sometimes compared to a credit card, because if you don't pay it, they can secure your home. It's a lien against the home. It's another kind of mortgage. So it's not to be toyed with, trifled with. It's serious. But at the same time, used correctly, you can use it for all kinds of great things, because usually it is a lower interest rate than some of the other things that might be out there.
Okay. There is another form of loan that's similar to the HELOC, and I can't for the life of me remember what it's called. Isn't there one
that's a second mortgage?
Is that what it is?
Possibly.
That's similar to the HELOC?
Well, not really. No, because a home equity line of credit's in essence a credit card. Well, right? I mean, that's really what
a credit card against
your equity within the home. A second mortgage is a secondary mortgage that's locked in. You can't add you can subtract to it by paying it down, but you can't add to it.
So is a line of credit always a HELOC?
It would be.
Okay.
Yeah. The idea of what we're talking, the other variety, as you're mentioning, though, would be taking equity out of the home as one lump sum and then fixing it. Then it's a fixed loan. It's that second mortgage, right, or you're taking out another loan.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yep. That was popular in the early 2000s, pre-disaster in the housing market. That was real popular.
And And sometimes it may make sense still, but again, for everybody, it's a little different. And it depends upon your bank. And maybe you have a mortgage company that doesn't offer home equity loans. That doesn't mean you can't have one. So the idea of, if you have equity in your home, you might want to go out and reach out to a lender, another partner, if you haven't already been approached by one.
Okay. So the visual of this is that it's like a credit card tied to the house. We've established that. Why would somebody even think about using their home equity instead of just paying off their credit cards the usual way if they were kind of, or getting a personal loan?
Well, I would keep it separate. It's not about paying off credit card, or we're assuming that you're debt-free in this, or if you're not debt-free, don't toy with that HELOC, worry about your debt. So we're focused on that person who may not have the credit card debt, or you're in that credit card debt of 30% interest, and you could take out that loan against the home or against a line of credit, and maybe that loan's 8%.
Okay.
So you're looking at the difference of 30% versus 8%, and that's where the math may say, oh, this is easy. And where we've learned, though, of the behavioral piece of, well, what do you do with those credit cards when all those balances are zero again? Are you keeping them at zero, or are you just shifting that back to the 8% again over time? So that's why I wanted to interject a little bit.
That's a good point.
Because it could be scary if you're thinking about, oh, I'm just shifting debt from pile A to pile B. Well, that's assuming you're going to keep paying it down.
And you jumped straight to the usage of it. There's two aspects. There's just the application, just to have a line of credit. You don't have to use it. So you can have a line of credit of tens of thousands of dollars against the equity in your house, but you don't have to use it. You can just sit there. And that's a good tool to have in your tool belt, where if you need cash, some people use it as a cash reserve, an emergency fund, as an option, right? So if you have a $50,000 or $100,000 line of credit, where if you need money, that's your resource.
You mean for job loss and stuff like that?
Anything. Job loss, home improvement, buy a car. Whatever it might be, whether or not it's advisable, that's a secondary question, but it's there for you. I've seen people use a line of credit to purchase the next house before they sold that house itself.
Don't tell the bank that, though.
Right.
They don't like you buying real estate right, with that. You've got to read the fine print.
That's the other question, exactly right? That's the other thing. You have to worry about what's in the details of that line of credit.
And again, getting into the usage a little bit, because I think—
Because they ask you, what do you want it for?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where you be honest, state it. You might be a little vague, but be honest there. But the idea of, okay, now that I have it, how do I use it? That's the next step. We're jumping into it. But the idea of, can you shift debt to a lower rate? Maybe. I mean, even the idea of, you know what, you love that toy, you want to go out there, you're going to buy that boat, the dealership has it at 13%, you could borrow against your house at 7%. Either way, you want the boat, you're going to pay for it, you want to finance it. Home equity loan gives you the ability to borrow at a lower rate because it's a more secured loan. Now, we're not saying go out and buy that if your finances don't allow that. And that's where, again, it can be dangerous used the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Benefits and risks of using it. So what's the upside down, or what's the upside that get people excited about
it's easy.
It's easy.
You have a checkbook. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The other one too.
Easy to trip up on though.
Well, part of the ease though and why you would use it, let's say you're a retiree and you're already at the end of the year, it's November, December time span. You've already taken out your RMD for your required minimum distribution. Maybe you took out other money. You're in a higher tax bracket now. Well, it's Christmas time. I need to go buy stuff. Well, if you use your home equity loan and then you reimburse yourself out of your minimum distribution next January, well, now instead of going up from maybe the 28% or 30% tax bracket effectively up to 37 or 39, maybe you're keeping it a little lower because you borrowed the money, you're using that home equity loan for all those great purchases, all that fun, and you're being responsible, paying it down, you have a plan. So that's another where you might have a why to it, aside from just, it's easy, I'm going to go into debt in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Or avoiding the credit cards, to Tony's point. Use the equity line of credit, maybe 8 or 9% versus a credit card at 19, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the interest savings alone.
Yeah, the credit cards seem like they're getting even higher.
Yeah, but
that would make sense.
Right, so that's where the home equity line of credit could be more advantageous for you.
Is that so? I know we talk about, is it Velocity Banking that I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
No, I think that might
not different
be,
show.
Yeah, different show for that one. But the idea though of if you're going to have a line of credit, know your it's almost. I hate the word irregardless. I know we both do. So, you know, let's just say regardless of your situation, the idea is you want to know your lifestyle. What am I spending? Now, on top of that, now I know what I'm spending. And then I can debate, is it a credit card? Is it my debit card? Do I use my home equity loan? Then you can be a bit more strategic, but the dangers and all that come from not knowing what you're spending and just kind of being drug around and using it when you think you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to have some discipline.
Yeah. Yep. And you have to, again, the most important thing is on the application process is understanding the structure of that home equity line of credit with the bank. How does the interest rate apply? How often will it change? Are you allowed a certain number of transactions on the equity line? Just ask the questions.
So those are kind of common mistakes to avoid.
Well, it's not mistakes. You just don't know what you have to understand what the footprint of what you're dealing with.
And a possible pitfall, you know, if you are someone who's relying on that for your emergency fund, you know, that relies upon your home being able to be borrowed, the line being open. So you have to have it open. Sometimes there's a fee with that. So we'll get that question. I'm not using my line. Should I pay the fee for it? Well, first call them, negotiate, see if they'll waive the fee. And if not, you might ask yourself, you know, is it worth this line? Maybe it's a $100,000 line of credit and you're paying $200 a year for it. You know what? Is it worth it so that I have access to $100,000? It might be for you. So again, it's not to say fees are always bad in that, but be mindful of it because you might be able to open one with someone else.
Does a HELOC, so is it only through a bank? Or
a banking institution.
Credit union.
I could say it that way. Banks, credit unions, some other private lenders. We won't go there, though.
Is there like a federal jurisdiction over the interest rates for those?
I'm not sure. I don't know how it's bank to bank.
Can they really compete
against
each other?
Right. They're going to look at your current mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do an appraisal on the house, right, or condo, whatever you own, to make sure it's valued properly. they're going to do their due diligence on, because they're giving you a line, they're giving you access to money. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do their due diligence as well, the banks will.
And that is typically tied to what's the current prime rate, what's the lending rate right now. And we'll use some terms you can Google later, but the idea is there's a set rate banks get to borrow money at, then they get to borrow it or loan it to you. And in the middle, they're going to add their fees on top of it. And depending upon your state, that's what really sets the interest rate specifically, because some states might have a cap on it or a limit, to your point, on secured debt versus secured debt. So it's really specific to you, your area, maybe even your zip code. You know, when you go to some of these websites to look for possible loans, that's also why they're asking you for your zip code, is that way they're applying those local rules, the local things to it.
And you have to look at the term. It might be only open for 10 years. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, the traditional 10-year term. So in 10 years it expires, you may have to refinance. If there's a lot, there's a loan against it, you have to reapply. Then if you have to worry if you have no income, what if you're retired? The bank wants W-2 income. They don't care how much money you have in your IRA. So that's a good pre-retirement strategy before you retire, when you still have W-2 income, go set up your home equity line of credit.
Seems like you could get in trouble, though, like if your cash flow is low and you've got an open line
just
of credit.
Just like anything. It's no different than a credit card. It can get you in trouble.
I mean, you're in more trouble if you don't have the money to go buy things. Yeah. You know, your groceries, your food. Right. I mean, assuming you're already in that situation of, I've lost my job, I've got 3 more months of looking around, mm-hmm. I'd say I'd rather have the line open. And to your point, try opening a line when you don't have a job. Especially if you're younger. I mean, when you have investments, Social Security, you might be able to get around some of it there. But when you're a younger person, or you're in your working life and you don't have that W-2, good luck.
Yeah, they won't give it to you.
Should every homeowner have one? I mean, does it make sense just kind of have it in your back pocket?
In general terms, yes. Not always. People are debt averse, but it's good to have it in your tool belt. Mm-hmm. That's why I use the word tool belt. It's always good to have. It's sort of like a Swiss Army knife.
And right? I'm smiling because you said one of those, if you're debt averse and it's mm-hmm. not your comfort level to have debt, or, hey, I don't want the bank hanging over me. I understand that. That's part of our money imprint growing up. And I understand that. I'll just leave it there.
But one of the benefits is it's a lien against your property. So if you're worried about title fraud, I hate to go there because we see the commercials, but the home equity line of credit's a lien against your property. So if someone's trying to commit title fraud, it might trigger it because you have a lien on the property.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
And there's a couple ways.
And I hate that.
Freeze your credit.
I don't want to go there with the lien aspect, the title aspect, but that is one of the good things about it. It sort of secures your property to red flags if something's
You're saying.
Well, the bank knows about it. Yeah. So the bank would be contacted, and then it would trigger some conversation and phone calls.
Yeah. Interesting.
The other thing to worry about too, and this happened in 2008, 2009, the banks can change the game, the rules of the game on you. You say, I have a $100,000 line of credit. They can send you a letter and say, nope, now it's $50,000, because the bank may be under financial stress and they have to adjust their financial statements, because that's the debit and credit aspect of their financial statements.
And back to your zip code too. If all the homes in that zip code have depreciated or gone down a bit, that plays into it, where it might not even be your home specifically. It might be not that you lost your job. But those are the things that'll play into it out of your control.
Think about Florida, right? With all the adjustments in real estate there, with all the condo changes.
The other piece too. I mean, we keep going, but you have to maintain and keep your property up to date to get one of these. So you think about, well, if I don't have that $50,000 for an emergency at the house, I'll just borrow it. Well, if you don't have the line of credit already open, usually there's a home appraisal that goes along with it. So if you're trying to fix something like the foundation, like the roof, you're kind of stuck in that circle of, well, I've got to unlock the equity in the home, but I can't because I can't borrow against this home because it's not passing the inspection.
So being
another
proactive
reason to have it open early.
So being proactive makes sense then.
So in general terms, yes, it's good to have in your tool belt.
What's it do to your credit score to open one of these?
Probably improves it.
Yep.
Because you have more debt. Access to more debt. So it probably helps your credit score.
Mm-hmm. And the key is how much you're using of it. You know, how are you using it? How are you utilizing it? You know, that plays into it very much. And maybe another benefit, or just the way to think of it too, you know, I hate to think of those who might be timing the market, or they're leaving money in real aggressive spots. And maybe you're a business owner and business has turned. having that home equity line of credit to make a payroll payment or something like that, that might be the difference of keeping the business going or not. Mm-hmm. So you think about, you know, again, you hate to even go there, but you don't have to talk to the bank again. You don't have to go through financing again. There's other reasons, too, why you might want to just have it on the side available.
Would this be the same tool you would use if you were a business owner? Is it a HELOC for a business owner?
It's the same tool because you're a homeowner. Okay. So it would be about the homeowner. If the homeowner has a business, it might apply. If they don't, it
doesn't. Business line of credit is a separate line of credit.
Okay, that was a better way of asking the question. Yeah. Thank you.
It's a line of credit, right? So you, anybody, if I can prove that you are valued and I trust you as a borrower, I can lend you money. Mm-hmm. I'm a bank then, right? So it's all about the relationship. Does that borrower, or is it trustworthy? Are they going to pay it back? What's the collateral? Is the collateral worth it?
Yeah.
Right. So if you tell me I'll collateralize the car and I said, okay, the car's worth good $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, I'll loan you $5,000.
Do people really buy cars with them?
Definitely.
Oh, sure.
As I mentioned, even the toys, RVs, boats, that kind, where the interest rates higher. Yep. And usually you see where things depreciate quicker.
Yeah.
They're going to have usually a higher interest rate, maybe double digits or more. So to be able to say arbitrage, you know, I can afford this. That's the key. You're not doing it just because, hey, I'm going to borrow even more than what I can afford. No, that's the wrong way to do it. But if you're someone who already did your numbers, you know where you're at. Well, yeah, it's going to be a lower interest rate sometimes to use that.
And if you do itemize your deductions on your tax return, the interest is deductible.
Nice.
Maybe.
That was a good point, right? Yes. There indeed. Are some caveats to it.
But okay. Consult your local attorney.
Yeah, yes.
And accountant. Yes. And accountant. Yes. And insurance agent, yes. Maybe.
And certified financial planner.
Yes.
All right. Shameless plug there. Thank you very much, guys. That's it for today. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll share with your friends.
Media. Think big.